All right. Well, good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
We made another wonderful week. God was with us.
Amen.
All right, we'll begin with prayer in the communion class. Dear Lord, I thank you for being with us. I thank you for the privilege of communing with you, talking with you, and enjoying your presence and worshiping you. You're worthy of all the glory and honor. And Lord, I thank you for being with us. Bless us to do all that's in your heart today. Bless every teacher. As we go forward today, in Jesus' mighty name, amen.
Amen.
We serve a God who thinks of everything.
Amen.
And the more I learn about him, the more I want to serve him.
Amen.
And every time he teaches me something, it just makes it that much more wonderful.
Uh-huh.
And last week we took a peek at Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20. And In communing with the Lord, one thing that will always happen when you commune with him, he'll help you make the most perfect adjustments. Not because we're not good enough, but we're growing. You know, Christ is being formed in us, and he helps us see things the way that it should be. And we come out of this is a fallen world, and we're learning righteousness. We're learning the way of love, and love is the way we keep the law. Like David was saying last week, that was so perfectly put. When you love people, you want to do good by them.
Amen.
And to help Jesus extended us salvation. So when we operate in his kind of love, we extend it to others, and we're introducing them to communion because Christ bridged the gap between God and man. And Paul, he ended chapter 3 in Ephesians saying, "Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us." Sometimes we have to stretch forward. We have to go beyond what we know in him. This happens when people get saved in the first place, they're going beyond what they're used to. The process continues to happen as they grow, as they're challenged by the world. They go beyond what they're used to, and we grow from glory to glory. Now, excuse me. When God called people when he gave them offices of ministry offices, they're going beyond what they're used to. And there's two offices that people shy away from, and they're afraid to tell people that they are in these two offices. One is the prophet, mm-hmm. and the other one's an apostle. Mm-hmm. Because in our generations, for so long, they taught that God did away with the apostle. And then the denominational churches, they strayed away from the Holy Spirit, so that, there wasn't many people who were operating in the prophet's anointing. But Kenneth Hagin said that he hurt his arm. He broke his arm. And he asked the Lord why it happened, like David used to do. And the Lord told Kenneth Hagin that you put your teaching ministry ahead of your prophet's anointing office. And that opened the door for the enemy. And I saw how important it was for people to be what God called them to be when I read this story. And the Lord said, "I'm going to heal it 90%. And I'm going to, so to remind you, because he was pioneer. To call yourself a prophet, a lot of people just turn you off because that would have been going beyond what they thought. And I've seen people with the apostles' anointing, and most of them would not admit it. And they'll joke about it, but they don't want to go there. But if we don't go forward, we cut God short. God can't do his full will in our lives, or he has to work around it. And I was listening to Jeremiah, and this is a familiar scripture in chapter 32. This is when the Lord told him that Hamilcar was going to come and buy his land. And I listened a little closer this week. Zedekiah the king came and asked David why he prophesied like he did. And Jeremiah was in the dungeon of the king's palace. He was a captive, and he couldn't go anywhere. He was already captured. And when you're prophesying such an unfavorable thing, you really have to go beyond yourself. And through this, the Lord took him beyond himself. Verse 1, and this is Jeremiah chapter 32, verse 1. He said, the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah from the Lord in the 10th year of Zedekiah, king of Judah, which was the 18th year of Nebuchadnezzar. And we got two 10s and an 8 in this. 10 is ultimatum. And 8 is, when the number 8 is always mentioned, something happens rapidly. You know, it happens immediately. But anyway, he said, For then the king of Babylon's army besieged Jerusalem, and Jeremiah the prophet was shut up in the court of the prison, which was in the king of Judah's house. For Zedekiah, king of Judah, had shut him up, saying, Wherefore doest thou prophesy and say, Thus saith the Lord, Behold, I will give this city into the hand of the king of Babylon, and take it. And Zedekiah, the king of Judah, shall escape out. And Zedekiah, king of Judah, shall not escape out of the hand of the Chaldeans, but shall surely be delivered into the hand of the king of Babylon, and shall speak with him mouth to mouth, and his eyes shall behold his eyes. And he shall lead Zedekiah to Babylon, and there shall he be until I visit him, saith the Lord. Though ye fight with the Chaldeans, ye shall not prosper. Now look at Jeremiah's reply. This is the most interesting reply. I listened to it about 6 times just to get it, because when you're hearing it, you have to listen to the, when you're reading it, you can see what it says. But when you're hearing, you have to hear it correctly. And I heard what I thought I heard. It says, And Jeremiah said, The word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Behold, Hanamel, the son of Shalom, thine uncle, shall come unto thee, saying, Buy thee my field that is in Anathoth, for the right of redemption is thine to buy it. So Hanamel, mine uncle's son, came to me in the court of the prison, according to the word of the Lord, and said to me, Buy my field, I pray thee, that is in Anathoth, which is in the country of Benjamin, for the right of inheritance is thine, and redemption is thine. Buy it for thyself. Then I knew that this was the word of the Lord. And he went on to explain all the things that happened. This gave credibility to Jeremiah, the things that the Lord had told him against Zedekiah and Judah. He prophesied such an unpopular message for years. And the patience of the prophecy is an aid to help people repent. It can be better if you repent, but they wouldn't do it. So on our end, we prophesy things, and we're looking for what's going to happen. It's already unpopular. And especially when people don't want to repent. If they repent, it's the best news they ever heard, and they rejoice and live. And then some things won't have to happen. But when this happened, Hanamel came and asked for the land, Jeremiah knew that I've been hearing from the Lord all the time. And at one point, he was so low, he said, I'm not going to preach anymore. But the word was like fire shut up in his bones. In communion, when you take time and spend time with the Lord, he can share things with you to help you push through and go beyond yourself so that you can measure God's word greater and greater. This is the way we measure God's word is the way it'll come back to us. And when I use authority, for example, Chris Lucas taught me about it. He was the first person to tell me, we have authority over Satan. And I had read the scriptures before I believed it. So I had authority over Satan, and that's how I measured, about 4 feet off the ground. And then when I studied Kenneth Hagin, I listened to the word, And then I measured it greater, about 12 feet off the ground. I'm saying that for the Then when the Lord told me what he did, I measured it like the sky. I believed it. Whatever part of God's word, the way you measure it, it'll be measured to you. That's why people say they feel like, well, it won't work for me, but so much. Well, that's true. But the way that we measure God's word is adjustable. When we commune with the Lord, he'll teach you. He already know how you think. The Holy Spirit is the best teacher you can get, because he knows you personally, and he knows how to teach you personally, so that you can do whatever it is he wants to do. It's not about you. It's about your faith in him. You don't have to be smart. You don't have to be worldly educated. But if you can trust him, he can cause you to do a work that can't be shut down. And he thinks of everything. I thought about something else, because the Lord's principles are sowing and reaping. For years he had me, I was there learning about authority. And the Lord wastes nothing. I took authority over the gunfights for years. Everything we do, it's like putting money in your account. The mercy you show, you're putting mercy in your mercy account. The grace you show, you're putting grace in your grace account. The way you intercede for people, when you hear the ambulance and you automatically pray for people. One day, if you're in the ambulance, people will pray for you. You're putting that kind of grace in your account. Well, I was doing warfare for people for years. It was about 5 or 6 years. And in my ministry, I realized this week, I needed to be protected, because Satan tried to kill me several times and he can't. He couldn't and he can't. I'm not afraid of death. I know that to die, you know, you're going to be with the Lord, but the Lord takes us beyond where we were. I'm not the same guy I was in 1983. But we grow from glory to glory. And the Lord reached Jeremiah. We'll pick it up here next week, because there's a lot of meat on this bone. Or next time. <I like that. laughs> But the Lord is with us. First Corinthians. Here it is. 1 Corinthians 11. Oh, thanks. Communing with the Lord, he will always help us to lunge forward, to go forward. There's nothing we can't do. When he give you something to do, don't look at you, look at him.
Amen.
That's the only way to graduate in faith.
That's good.
And it's found in communion. Verse 24 in 1 Corinthians 11. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me." After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, "This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me." It's good to go beyond. I know a few apostles. I know there's two I know personally and two that are public that I know publicly. And I suspect that they are apostles. And they've done a mighty work. What if they acknowledge that they were apostles the course of their ministry? How many more people would have come forward? Or if they were prophets, acknowledge the fact that they were prophets, and so many people would have come forward. But when they gave in to the status quo, then the status quo lives in the mind of the people. The Lord thinks of everything. When you go forward in him, it's not easy, but he'll show you how to alert people's attention and go forward. And it's better for you. I knew a pastor. I knew he was an apostle. When the Lord helped me discern the spirit, I knew what he was. And he acknowledged it, but he hid from it. He ran from it. He put the pastor's ministry first. But when we give God our all, there's nothing we can't do. The Lord, I thank you for your word. I thank you for the mighty move of God that you've blessed us to be a part of. Help us to go forward in you mightily doing all that's in your heart. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.